Perfect. So I'll begin. Hi, everyone. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us for the Magnolia Public Schools regular Board of Directors meetings. My name is Jennifer Lara, and I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, I did have two brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. However, if it's something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, to the members of our board and staff, as always, please state your name before speaking. With that, we're going to begin tonight's meeting of the Magnolia Public Schools Regular Board of Directors meetings. The day is February 11th, 2021. The time is 6:22 p.m. With that, Rabbi Belek, may you please call the meeting to order? Rabbi Belek?
Good evening. This is Rabbi Beliak. I want to welcome everyone to our meeting. We are beginning the formal meeting now. I'm just switching from my phone to my computer, and I ask your indulgence as I do that. Would you please read the roll, please?
Of course, Rabbi Beliak. So now I'll take attendance for this meeting. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpano?
Here.
Dr. Dikbash?
Here.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you to our board members. We have quorum to continue tonight's meeting. Next, we move on to the approval of the agenda. And just a reminder, if you have your mic's on, if you can mute yourselves. So the motion is to approve the agenda with the removal of action items 3C and 3G. Both items will be tabled and brought up to a next meeting. So with those changes, would a board member like to make the motion to approve the agenda with the removal of those two items?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'm going to take a vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpano?
Can someone just explain why these are being removed, if there is a background? Because I wasn't aware of this until this minute.
Yes, this is Alfredo Rubalcaba. Hello, everyone, Magnolia family, staff, community members. So we did pull these both of these items because staff does require a bit more time to follow up on some specifics around these two items. So we do expect it to bring it to the next scheduled board meeting, which at that time we should have everything fully completed.
Thank you. Yeah, next time you are pulling an item like this, it would be great if you can please give us some context beforehand.
Definitely. Thank you for the feedback, Dr. Yalpano.
Thanks so much. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Yalpano. Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes. I go all.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved as amended. Next, we'll move on to the public comments. We did not receive any public comments from this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment, please unmute yourself. Oh, sorry, I was on mute. So if there's no public comments, we'll move forward with the announcements from the CEO and superintendent, Mr. Rubalcaba.
Hello, everyone. Again, nice to see all of you. Hopefully everyone's having a great Thursday. So with that, as we always do, we start with health and safety top of mind. That is always our priority when it comes to our school communities. So I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer Hook to lead us off on our health and safety updates, and I will add some context specific to our reopening plans across Magnolia Public Schools. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jennifer Hook. I'm with the accountability team and the health and safety coordinator. Some updates since our last board meeting. One of the big ones is that the regional stay-at-home order ended January 25th. So they just reverted back to the original county blueprint for a safer economy, and they are no longer tracking the ICU rates in on that website. I also left the links for the Safe Schools for All proposal and the link for the school hub. Next slide, please. So some good news is that there's been a steady decrease in our adjusted case rates throughout all of our counties. If you remember from the last board meeting, our adjusted case rates were in the 60s and 70s in some of our counties. This time around, they're looking, they're around 31.7 adjusted case rates. 31.7 for Los Angeles, 29.7 for OC, and then 34.2 for San Diego. And again, the reason why these numbers are important is because once we get under a certain threshold, which is 25 per 100K, we are able to reopen for grades TK through second. And then of course, when we reach lower than seven in the adjusted case rate, then we can open for middle and high school. Alfredo, did you have any further context for this slide?
No, I'll wait to add my comments towards the end. Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay, next slide, please. So there aren't any new local updates. LA County is waiting on updating their K through 12 protocols until they get final word from the state regarding the new proposal. They sent out a draft earlier this week, but they haven't posted the official one on their website. The recommendation that was in place in January has expired, and we have seen some of our school sites slowly open up for small groups of kids. But the travel quarantine is still in effect. So anyone that's leaving the LA County area is still expected to quarantine for 10 days. And then the new quarantine instructions for close contacts is still in effect for all counties. Next slide. So the sites that are opened for small cohorts are MSA 1, 2, 6, 7, San Diego, and Santa Ana. Our co-located sites are still waiting for more guidance from LAUSD. We're hoping that we can gain access soon. And as communicated during the last special board meetings, all schools were able to submit their CSPs, which include the health and safety policy IIPP plan and the California state checklist. And schools are awaiting for additional guidance from the local and state entities to see if there's any additional items we need to deliver. Alfredo?
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. So with that, distance learning is in full effect as it has been since the beginning of the year. And I think at this moment, we're waiting for the governor to come to an agreement with the legislature. And we hear that that announcement is coming soon. And with that announcement, plans to reopen will be a bit more visible for us to start making plans. And although we're currently not open for in-person, you know, with us submitting the CSP plans for all of our schools, you know, we are ready to go if that's on March 15th, as we indicated in the CSP plans, or if that's at a later time, depending on the guidance. So at this moment, it's just a waiting game to see how the governor, you know, negotiates with the legislature so we could open up our schools. And with that, our priority, just like everyone's priority, is to obviously advocate for as many resources as possible for our staff, including vaccinations. So with the vaccinations, we do hear in LA that those will be rolled out for those in the education sector starting either the 23rd of February or March 2nd. Santa Ana, we hear February 23rd. And then San Diego, similarly. So again, we're hearing different things, but not until it becomes official will we obviously act. But we are still planning for reopening our schools. We are going to inform our public, you know, whether we're going to open up soon on February 19th, which is next Friday. So with that, I'll open it up to questions.
Opening up on February 19th.
Sorry, no, we're gonna make an official announcement to our stakeholders on February 19th on what reopening will look like, with the hopes that by then the governor and the legislature do come to an agreement on the Safe Schools for All plan, which was the plan that was unveiled on December 30th, and we received the documentation on January 14th. So hopefully by next Friday, we have all the information we need in order to reopen and make that communication to all of our stakeholders. And if the announcement on the 19th, then at that time, it might be 3:15, it might be 4:15. Again, it'll depend on what the governor and the legislature end up coming to terms with.
Anyone have any questions or comments about this? This is, I'm sure, just part of your report, Alfredo, but I want to thank Jennifer. Anyone have any additional questions? Alfredo, could you say a little bit about the issue that's caught up with the state? What are the issues for the governor and the legislature? What's the gap?
The gap comes down to a couple of things. And I think the first one is vaccination of all education teachers and staff. I think, you know, we've made it clear that if that was possible for us to do it as a priority. And I think that's where, again, I think the legislature, the governor, that is going back and forth, because obviously there's guidance from the CDC on, you know, that has evidence that shows you could open up schools without the vaccination of teachers and staff. And, you know, I think from the legislature side, it's, well, you know, I think LEAs are still wanting to get that extra layer of just protection or extra layer of, you know, mitigating strategies you take to prevent transmission at the school sites. So I think that's the biggest piece. And then the second piece would be equity, focused on if we, you know, those that do work in areas where there is a high transmission, which all of our schools are in areas with high transmissions, and the governor does tie or incentivize reopening to funding, then we want to ensure that we do get all the funding for, you know, reopening, because at the end of the day, the COVID-19 testing piece that was initially proposed in his January 14th framework, that would require all LEAs to, if they did reopen and did get the funding, to do weekly testing, or what they call asymptomatic testing of students and staff. So that is very costly. So we're advocating to ensure that we don't have to pay one single penny to have that testing at our sites, right? So I think that would be the second biggest issue. And then I think there's smaller issues, but I think those are the two biggest, the proper funding and then making sure that there's a vaccination rollout plan from the governor. And we hear that that announcement might be made tomorrow regarding vaccination and how we could move up teachers in TK through second grade specifically to obviously receive those vaccination shots, but we'll wait to hear what happens. But those would be the two major issues.
Thank you.
Is there any further questions or comments? If not, Alfredo, was that the end for the CEO and superintendent announcement?
Yes, and I just wanted to thank we have so many doctors everywhere, so I always have this mindset of calling people doctors, but a doctor in her own way, I want to thank Diane Gonzalez for joining Magnolia staff at our visit with the CDE at Santa Ana. That happened on Tuesday. It was a very successful visit that happened with our school site leadership, so I want to thank Diane Gonzalez for being there, a representative of our board of directors. And again, it went very well. So thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez.
Thank you, Diane. That's great. Do you have anything to say about it, to share with the board?
It was a great meeting. I really enjoyed it. There was just a great insight into seeing what they've advocated for and what they've been working for and towards. I was also told Alfredo that maybe once they start going back in, even though it's going, the students will be going in at a slower pace, that it would be nice for us to be able to virtually see the school being and the students being taught at the site. And we discussed that and he said it's possible, because I think the board should really see the work that has been done there to ensure that the children and the teachers and everybody are safe on, you know, at the site. And Alfredo, my only question is, do you think the Santa Ana site will open before the LAUSD ones here in Los Angeles?
I think going from what happened in the fall where, you know, Orange County was in the red tier and LA never got an opportunity to be in the red tier, I do think that that is a high possibility. And based on the tier assignments right now, we have LA at 31.7 and then we have Orange County at 29. So by next week, both counties would be eligible to offer TK through six, and then the race then goes to who could open up for 7 through 12. So I do think, based on the latest figures, I do think Orange County will have an opportunity to open up faster. And obviously because Orange County does have, you know, I would say a more affluent community, which means the case rates are a little lower than some of the places here in LA, which is a bit more densely populated and does serve a high population of students and families that, you know, we do have some challenges that we see as opportunities, obviously, since we work in those communities and do some great work with our students and families.
All right. With that being said, Alfredo, was that the end for the announcements?
Yes, that is the end.
Great, so I'll move forward with the agenda. Next is the approval of minutes from regular MPS board meeting for January 21st, 2021. If there's no objections from the board, we can take a vote for both the minutes for the regular board meeting January 21st and the special board meeting for February 1st. Is there any objections from the board members? If not,
no, I'd like to motion to approve.
Perfect. Thank you. So we'll take the motion. So the motion is to approve the minutes for both January 21st, as well for the regular board meeting, as well as the special board meeting for February 1st. Would a board member like to move this motion?
Yes, so moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Belek. Is there a second?
Good morning, everyone.
I second it.
I'll second it.
Mr. Mohamedov, I'll now take a vote. Rabbi Belek?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpinel?
Yes.
Dr. Tikvash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you so much. The minutes for both January 21st and February 1st has been approved. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to the closed session.
Jennifer, just for the record, can you restate for the record which items were pulled at the beginning of the board meeting?
Yes, so the items that were removed in the beginning of the board meeting were action items 3C, approval of career access pathway partnerships, MOU agreement, and 3G, approval of design contract for MSA 1 improvements.
Thank you for that clarification.
With that being said, moving on to the closed session, Rabbi Belek, may you please announce the closed session item?
We have a closed session where we're going to discuss some items of concern with legal implications, and we'll report back out.
Thank you. So I just opened up the room for those that need to attend the closed session. Please join. We're now back in open session. The time is 8:08 p.m. Rabbi Belek, would you like to announce any actions taken during closed session?
Yes, I'd just like to announce that we discussed with staff and we've instructed them, and we'll ask them to report back to us.
Thank you for that, Rabbi Belek. So we'll continue on with the agenda, starting with the action items with 3A, approval of updates to fiscal policies. This report will be presented by the Finance Committee.
Okay. Should I take the lead or
yes. So since we have, this is Alfredo, since we have a newly appointed Finance Committee Chair, so Dr. Dikbosh, you have the honor of stating what happened at the Finance Committee and telling us what the recommendation is of the Finance Committee to the full board. So Dr. Dikbosh,
sounds very lovely.
It is your honor.
Thank you. Sounds very lovely. Yeah. I think right before this meeting, yeah, we had the Finance Committee meeting and we discussed the details. And in here, you can see all the details. Look of the matter is essentially increasing CFO, CEO, and Board of Trustees the current limit to hire to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the C team. Because right now, every little detail, like, I don't know, $10 pencil, et cetera, it has to go, and then CFO has to approve. Understandably, essentially, it's very time-consuming and takes time from the important matters. And this is also in line with the industry standards, other charter schools or other nonprofits doing. And in fact, in the proposed limit, they are not as high as the, I guess, other peers, as Sargar gave example, like for Aspire or others, they have even higher standards. But right now we discussed, we said, okay, let's increase right now. And then if further need is needed, then we will come back. And then based on the feedback, I guess we will see how it's impacting, if further refinement is needed. In that case, we will come back with, we will discuss, and based on that, we'll come back with another proposal as well. But right now, we are essentially proposing to change the current limits to the proposed limits as shown on the table.
Thank you, Dr. Dikbosh. With that, does anyone from the public have any comments or questions regarding this item? If there's no comments or questions, board members, do you have any comments or questions regarding this?
I have just one question. So before this change, CFO had the approval of any amount?
That is correct. Yes, this is Sarah. Any amount was coming to the to CFO for approval, even if it's like 50 cents or a dollar.
Oh, I see. Okay, CFO did not have the authority, but second.
But he had to essentially approve it, okay. And then it's all the paperwork. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this will reduce your workload too, Sardar, I assume.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons why we're proposing this, because, we're dealing with the very minor things, and we don't have time for more important strategic things. So in that regard, we're asking the board to approve this new thresholds for both myself and the CEO, and increase the limit for the board's approval as well.
Makes sense. Yeah, thank you.
And if there are no further questions, I move the motion.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush, for moving the motion, and Rabbi Billy for seconding. Just for minutes purposes, the motion is for the board to approve the proposed updates to the fiscal policies and procedures manual of Magnolia Public Schools. With that, I'm going to take vote. Rabbi Billy?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpino?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to action item 3B, approval of school safety plans. This will be presented by Dr. Brenda Lopez, our Director of Student Services. Dr. Lopez?
Yes. Good evening, board members, staff member that's on the call right now. So tonight I'm presenting the comprehensive school safety plans for all MPS school sites. These have been shared with the board. We have provided the public view option for public view. We did remove some items that are confidential to our schools due to safety concerns. So we make sure to remove those for the public view option. But as mentioned, this is an annual review we must conduct for our comprehensive school safety plans that each of our dean of students at each school site works diligently on to make sure that they involve stakeholders during our school site council meetings, safety protocol, as well as consult with law enforcement, fire department, as well as first responders. All the safety plans have been reviewed and revised in accordance with CVE California Education Code sections that are listed on the cover page. And this is something that must be done before March 1st of every school year for the upcoming school year. So these safety plans are also a live documents that can be updated as needed. We have to make sure that we bring them to the board for review at least once a year. So with that being said, if there's any questions, the attachments have been included for board review and one sample that they were provided without omitting information was for our MSA 8 campus. And one change this year for our safety plans for MSA 8 and MSA 5. Previously, we were relying on it's a co-located site with LAUSD. We continue to look, refer to their safety plan, but at the same time, we wanted to make sure that our school had their own safety plan that they worked on so that they can also post it to their websites without having to wait on approval from LAUSD to see if we could post their school safety plan without compromising any safety information that might be included in that version. So I made sure to include MSA 8's copy as an example because they worked on a whole new plan incorporating all the other information from our other school sites as well. Here you'll see that we're displaying, I created the MPS comprehensive school planning guide where we refer to the checklist from the CDE as well regarding what items our safety plans must include. At this time, if there are any questions from the board regarding our school safety plans.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? There's no comments or questions. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Great. If there's no further questions or comments, the motion is for the board to approve the comprehensive school safety plans for all MPS schools. Would a board member like to move this motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
Second. This is Yapanel.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanel. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak? Rabbi Beliak? Dr. Yapanel?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you for that. The motion carries unanimous vote. As we announced earlier in this meeting, action item 3C was tabled. So now we're going to move on to 3D, approval of material revision to merge MSA 4 into MSA 6. This will be presented by Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Good evening, everyone. So this specific resolution is similar to the resolution we brought before you last year when we were in the process of merging MSA 4 into MSA 6, making it a 612 school. So with that, that process, as you remember, was expected to be approved by the LAUSD board at their March 24th board meeting. But unfortunately, the pandemic completely threw off that process. And ultimately, we were expecting for this resolution of this material revision to be approved at the May meeting. But when it was made apparent that that would not happen, we took the appropriate step to withdraw the material revision and the merger of 4 and 6 and to bring it to you at a later date. So that is what we are doing here with expected board approval from LAUSD on May 25th. The only difference between last year and this year is that this year, this material revision does go under the umbrella of AB 1505, which does require us to submit a community impact assessment report, which entails quite a bit of, you know, data points that we have to provide not only for our school, but the surrounding schools that surround MSA 6. And we have to have quite a few of community meetings. Last year, when we went through this process, we did have several meetings with stakeholders, but this time around, we have to double those efforts and also have to invite other, you know, operators surrounding MSA 6 within the district. We have to notify the charter school division. We have to notify local superintendent. We have to notify the principals from the surrounding high schools, middle schools. So basically everyone is welcome to come to these meetings. And in this process, myself, John Musa, with staff present to the parents our process, what we plan to do, and then they share their feedback. So in these community meetings, now we have feedback being shared from others that surround MSA 6. So that's pretty much the biggest difference. We still expect that this material revision will be approved by the board, but this time around, we do have to await for some of the facility issues to be resolved. So once the facility issues are resolved, for instance, what Prop 39 offers we're going to accept for MSA 4 and 6, then we'll be able to make an informed decision on the budget and what the budget looks like for, you know, the next 4 years. So we've already started that process of preparing a budget. That entails all of our students from 4 and 6, and that is something that we will have LAUSD review in the next week before we submit our material revision for the merger of 4 and 6. So again, very similar to the item we brought before you December 29th, 2019, when we were planning to go forward with this merger, merging four into six, making it MSA 6, a 6-12 span school. I'm open for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? There's no comments or questions. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Okay, if there's no questions or comments, the motion is for the board to approve the resolution that authorizes the following: one, material vision for MSA 6 charter petition, and two, closure of MSA 4 effective June 30th, 2021, and authorize the MPS CEO and superintendent to take the necessary actions needed to complete the material revision process. With that, do we have a board member to move the motion?
I make the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Nikon.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpino?
Yes.
Dr. Diktash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you all. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to action item 3E, approval of MSA 4 assets transfer to MSA 6. This will also be presented by Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Yes, so similar to the previous resolution, this resolution was also brought to the board last year, February 2020. And with this wasn't a specific requirement by LAUSD in the merger of 4 and 6, but they did see it as a, procedural, practical step that we could take to indicate that as soon as we merged 4 and 6, we would have to close MSA 4 as of June 30th, 2020. And now this year, it would be June 30th, 2021. Once we did that, we would have to transfer over the assets, any assets left over from MSA 4 after an audit's been completed, and transfer those assets to MSA 6. So again, we come before you with the same item as we did last year, asking you to approve this specific resolution to basically essentially transfer over the assets of MSA 4 onto MSA 6 once we do have to close MSA 4 as part of the merger process. Open for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? There's no comments or questions. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Okay, great. So the motion is for the board to approve the resolution that authorizes the MPS CEO, Alfredo Rubalcaba, to direct and oversee the fund transfer process of MSA 4 net assets to MSA 6. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gulard. Thank you, Rabbi Beliak, for seconding. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpino?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Diktash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to action item 3F, approval of revised MPS audit facilities and stakeholder committee structure. This will be presented by Dr. Yapano, our MPS board vice chair. Dr. Yapano?
Good evening, everyone. As you know, from the last meeting, I mentioned that we, in an effort to balance the workload between the board members, We talked about some changes, not on the main committee structures, but on the alternates. So some board members are serving in two committees, some are in three committees. So it's only fair for members who are only on two committees to serve as alternates in case one of the board members is not available to join. With that, the changes that are being proposed are that currently Ms. Sandra serves as the alternate in Audit and Facilities Committee, but she's already on three other committees. So I would like to replace her as I have quite a bit of experience in Audit and Facilities. And for the second change, Rabbi Beliak was serving as the alternate, but he is already overloaded with many other committee assignments as well as being the board chair. So instead, Mr. Mohammedov was serving in two committees. So, and having a history of Magnolia under his arms, I think make it a great alternate committee. So those are the only two changes that I proposed.
Thank you, Dr. Yalbano. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? There's no questions or comments. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Okay, if no questions or comments, the motion is for the board to approve the changes to the MPS audit facilities and stakeholder committee structures to take effect February 12, 2021 to be as follows. So for the Audit Facilities Committee, Dr. Yalbano will replace Ms. Covarrubias as the alternate member for the committee. And for the Stakeholder Committee, Mr. Mohammedov will replace Rabbi Belik as the alternate member for the committee. With that, would a board member like to move this motion?
Yes, I'd like to.
Want to make sure everybody, like being replaced, everybody's in agreement, right? So it's just everybody's in agreement. We're just essentially voting on it.
Great, so I'll, Dr. Yalbano, move the motion. Dr. Dickbush, in the beginning, did you second?
I just actually wanted to also thank all the board members who spent extra time on these committees. And I'm grateful for all of their efforts to make Magnolia a better place for our students and for our all stakeholders.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dr. Yalbano. Dr. Dickbush, did you second the motion?
No, I was just asking, like, people who are being replaced, they are all in agreement. I'm just, just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
It's just Sandra and
Rabbi. Yeah, Rabbi, they are all in agreement. Yeah. That's what I was asking.
If they are okay or not, right? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I'm fine with that decision.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, great. So with that, does a board member second the motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
We need a second, guys. Okay.
Oh,
no, we have it.
Okay, sorry.
Dr. Yalbano, your vote?
Yes, please.
Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubia?
Yes.
Mr. Mohammedov?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries once again with a unanimous vote. So once again, as mentioned in the beginning of the meeting, action items 3G was also tabled. That concludes our action items. We'll move forward with the information discussion items, starting with 4A, Portrait of a Graduate. This will be presented by Mr. Soto, our Director of Communications. Mr. Soto?
Yeah, hi, thanks for that, Jen. Good evening, board members, members of the community, fellow colleagues. So I'm here today to bring forward an information item. There is no action required. And it is on the work that we have been doing for the last year, titled The Portrait of the Graduate for Magnolia. So just, I'm gonna start with a little bit of background, and I'm gonna walk you through the process and where we're at today and what our next steps. So a little bit of background, the Portrait of the Graduate was originally initiated back in August of 2019 with a goal to create a collective vision for Magnolia Public Schools that really does articulate our organization's community's aspirations for our students now, and most importantly, into the future. Through a design process that really intentionally engaged our Magnolia community, the portrait has become our stated vision for our Magnolia students. So all of this process started when I brought together a team of 17 Magnolia stakeholders to create the Portrait of the Graduate design team. They consisted of home office leaders, a member of our very own Magnolia board, thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, also MSA school leaders, including two principals, two deans, MSA teachers, MSA alumni, MSA parent, and one community member from MSA 7. The design process is four parts. Phase one was really about the engagement process, and this again started back in August of 2019, and that was to create the portrait design team, again, those 17 members that I just mentioned. And really what I was hoping to do is get their collective expertise and skill sets to really bring to the table and to really excite our community at large. Phase two was activation of that portrait design team. So we met in person. I met with folks like our community members in person at the schools. I convened some of the design team over Zoom meetings, had one-on-one calls. I've also sent out feedback surveys to the team, and that's how we activated them. Phase three, the most important phase, this was when we really started to create the narrative around the portrait and even the visuals. So here's where Magnolia Portrait, the graduate team, really began to craft the meaning behind the work. So we really focus our conversations around skills, mindsets, literacies essential to 21st century student success. Also through this work, the design that was very intentional when we engaged our community, the portrait really became our community stated vision for our students, as previously mentioned. And the outcome of that was the prioritization of putting together what we call the MPS graduate profile, which is encompassing of six competencies, which I will share shortly later down the presentation. And so I also, in addition to those competencies, you know, we wanted to create these visuals, right, that we could print and promote across our schools, highlight across our social media channels, and we're even in conversations about putting together a launch event for Portrait of the Graduate, because it's going to be all encompassing of a ton of things, including our mission and vision, again, which I'll also get to. So that included a sketch. We call it the Portrait of a Graduate sketch, or the visuals, that really kind of conveys our compelling story. So what are the competencies, you might be asking? So the six competencies that I'm about to mention are the ones that were part of this collective work of surveys, conversations, meetings, and so on and so forth. And so, and before I get ahead of myself, board members, please note that I've also shared a survey with you earlier this afternoon to collect your feedback on the following six competencies. We love to get your feedback so that we can get to a point we can put a button on this phase and then move forward with the ones I will mention a little later. So here they are. Competency number one, it's literacy with a learner's mindset. Number two, critical thinking. Three, creativity. Four, effective communication. Five, we have adaptability. And six, global citizenship. One thing that's not in your board report and really has surfaced as a new phase or like a subset of a phase is what I'm calling phase 3B. And it's not in your board report, but this has surfaced since I've submitted this board report. And I think it's actually very important work that has to happen before we get to adopting of this portrait, because it's encompassing of a lot of things that I just previously mentioned. So we've had tons of discussions with various members of the portrait design team, and of course the home office academic team, one as recent as this afternoon. And ultimately we decided to fold in the following steps to ensure that the portrait project is representative of the entire scope of work that we're promoting here, and is really part of the Magnolia vision for this project. So here's the next steps that are gonna happen. Number one is I'm going to form a new team that some of whom will migrate and roll over from the portrait design team, but this team will be a mission and vision design team. And part of that is to ensure that, number one, the core competencies which have actually been completed are done, and we can use that work to inform what is actually in progress as we speak, which are the school-wide learner outcomes, or as we know them, SLOs, right? And that's being led by our Chief Accountability Officer, Mr. David Yilmaz, and of course his team, the accountability team. So that's step three. Step four is when we start to really use that work, the SLOs, to inform the new MPS mission and vision, which will be led by the mission and vision design team. And just for context, the last time this was updated was in 2011. And it was updated by a focus group consisting of home office executives and consultants. So it's been 10 years and we're due. And so that's gonna be important work. And then the final step within this 3B is gonna be creating the MPS goals and objectives. So we'll get all the work that we've produced from the core competencies, just to recap. We'll get the work that's been done with the school-wide learner outcome, SLOs. We'll use those to inform the mission and vision. And then all of that collectively is gonna inform our new goals and objectives that will lead us for the next 5 years. And part of that is gonna be really thinking about strategic planning and implementation. So that's key. Now I get to the last phase, phase four. So this is where we think about adopting our portrait and plan for implementation. So once all of that work that I just previously mentioned is complete, I will be bringing this item to the board for recommendation for adoption. And then once we do that, we can then publish it on our website, on our social media channels, share it with our partners and stakeholders, and use this as a North Star for like subsequent strategic planning and also the design of our educational experiences for our Magnolia students. Once that portrait of the graduate competencies have been formally adopted and approved by the board, the MPS Home Office will then really shift gears and in collaboration with our MPS school leaders, we'll then turn our focus into implementation. I've attached the current portrait of a graduate document as a reference point for you all when you are taking that survey and giving your feedback on the six competencies. And just thank you in advance for doing that. And with that, again, thank you. I'm available for questions. So Jen, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Soto. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? There's no questions or comments. Board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I love what I
see. Okay. Go ahead, Rabbi.
I was just gonna say, I'm impressed with what I see.
It's a collaborative effort, Rabbi, and it's taken a lot of people and a lot of thinking and feedback to get to the point we're at. And I think the next few steps that I previously mentioned are exciting, but it's we want to make sure we get this right because this is going to be our North Star for Magnolia for years to come. So thank you for that.
Yes, yeah, I'm really excited. Actually, I haven't been this excited for so long. To see something this important, because I always feel that we do great things at Magnolia, but we don't do a very good job of telling that story. And I think this is a great step towards towards that goal, so that we can basically express the work that we are doing. And this is a really great framework. Thank you so much, Mr. Soto, for leading this effort, and also Sandra for representing the board. I think you are the right person to contribute to this effort. I'm standing by to help in any capacity I can. Again, I'm really impressed. Thank you so much for this hard work.
My pleasure. Thank you for your remarks. Appreciate it.
And everyone involved, yeah. I would like to thank everyone on the committee that spent time on creating such a great asset for Magnolia.
Absolutely. This is a great work. And I actually love the process, how it went through and how collaborative it was. This is great. This is exciting. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that as well.
All right, great. Any further comments from the members of our board? If not, then we'll move forward. This item does not require any actions to be taken. Lastly on our agenda, we'll move on to 4B, MSA San Diego Annual Authorizer Oversight Report. This will be presented by Mr. Ilmas, our Chief Accountability Officer.
Good evening, board members and the public. This is the last authorizer oversight report from 2019-20 school year that we are bringing before you. So the district, San Diego Unified School District, provided it about a month ago. As you can see in the on the cover page, the report is mostly positive. There are no issues noted for academics and accountability. There are positive comments about submitting all reports in a timely manner. Again, positive comments about opening the school for distance learning and supporting our students, having a compliant safety plan. There is also a note about the San Diego Local Governance Committee meeting, which was held on September 23rd. It lists two board members. Mr. Orev is no longer a board member, so the board may need to appoint a second board member for that committee. So again, all those notes were positive. The remainder of the report was mostly about finances. So I'm gonna turn it over to Mr. Orozov to go over the finance portion of the report.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Ilmas. So when it comes to finances, they're primarily focused on three areas. The first area is whether or not the financial reporting, including the budget in terms of budget reporting and the audited financials, were submitted on time. The second area they're focusing on is basically the financial stability and sustainability. And the third area they're looking at is financial management, overall financial management, which includes basically the internal controls, segregation of duties, whether or not we have, appropriate tools together to oversee the accounting and budgeting process and all of those all together. So in the first area, obviously, all the reports were submitted timely, both for 19-20 and 18-19, as you can see in front of the report that's in front of you. However, in the second portion, when it comes to financial stability and sustainability, we had some issues in the areas of operating surplus and cash and current ratios. As you all know, we moved to a new campus in 17-18 academic year. And with that move, actually our facility cost has increased. And I think what happened is we were not able to realize the enrollment targets that was planned upon, and correspondingly we had deficits for both years 18-19 and 17-18 and 18-19 and 18-19 and 19-20 as well. But the figures in front of you for 19-20 is based on the second interim report, which is basically the interim report, as it says in the name. We have the unaudited actuals available. We have the unaudited actuals available, which project a negative $42,000 compared to $200,000 in deficit in this report. So, as you can see, we have some improvements compared to last fiscal, the prior year, which was over $800,000 in deficit. We're looking into different options for current year and the year ahead of us in terms of budget, in terms of maybe, budget cuts or enrollment improvements for the for 2021. But from year 18-19, which we had a large deficit of $800,000, we improved to negative $42,000 in 19-20. And for the current year, we're projecting to have a break-even budget. And for 2021, we have the school staff is working on enrollment marketing so that we can improve the enrollment figures for 2021. And if need be, we will look into the options of cutting budget cuts as well. It is something we're working with the school side principal and in the home office at the C team as well. So that's a quick update. If you have any questions, I'm happy to address. But basically, and the third area, financial management, we don't have any issues when it comes to financial management. There's been no audit findings when it comes to internal controls or, you know, any compliance issues. So we're good on that end. We need to focus on improving the financial sustainability for the school. Obviously, we all know that we had a tough project, facility project at San Diego, which came with a great cost. So we have to work on this side in terms of long-term financial planning.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public?
Board members, this is Principal Sears. I am also here. If you have any questions, I can address them.
Thank you, Mr. Sears. With that, do any of the board members have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yeah, I have a question. How does it compare to the previous year's oversight report?
We had a same issue. So those three areas in the finance, financial sustainability, we had no's. Those are net operating surplus and then current ratio and the cash ratio. But again, we did still demonstrate a deficit in 1920 as well, but it's much lower compared to the year before. The 18-19 was negative $800,000. And in 1920, it's negative $42,000. On the report you're looking at, it is as of the second interim report date, which shows a negative $204,000, but that figure actually changed by the end of the year. So although we have no's on those sections, in terms of the financials, we have a much more better picture.
So you're saying year over year, there's an improvement.
Yes, and what I'm saying is in the current year's operating budget, I think we're going to have a break-even budget. We're going to have a surplus for 2021. And we hope that we're going to keep the same trajectory, same trend for the year to come.
That's good. How about the other parts? Like I see there are some other tables also. Maybe Mr. Sears can comment.
Which ones? Mr. Douglas, the question?
Academic.
Yes. So I can attest that maybe I'll just start with the quick summary of the report. So we have on the very first page of the report, we have the enrollment data, and we have, there's an important table right under the enrollment data. Although we showed an improvement in our enrollment target, due to our demographics, our per student funding is almost $1,500 less per student compared to other Magnolias. So in a 450, almost 440 student school, it is almost $600,000 difference from that funding perspective. And one of the reasons for that is we actually had a very low income socioeconomic disadvantaged student population compared to other Magnolias. When I first started in 14-15 school year, we had 19%. Now, maybe you will see on the table that the number increased on 17-18, it went up to 26%, 18-19, a similar number. Last year, it went up to 34%, and this year we are close to 40%. And when the socioeconomically disadvantaged student number increases, then there are additional funds, not only because of Title I, but now you are getting eligible for other grants and resources. And if we can hit actually 55%, we will be eligible to even some facility grants, that because our biggest, in a sense, burden is an almost $1 million facility expense that we have. Now, of course, we are not just going to talk about the finances. There are fantastic things happening on site, and that's highlighted here. What you see on the second page of the district report is the ELA and MAT report. I'm assuming you have this report also attached, right, Mr. Yilmaz?
Yes, the report was provided to the board too, yes.
Yeah. Just making sure. So, and on that, you actually see the dashboard. And based on the dashboard data for ELA and math, there are two parts. One is what you see is 69% in ELA and almost 61% in math. Math or exceeded the standards school-wide. And based on that data, actually, we are the highest performing middle school in our neighborhood and the highest performing charter middle school in county of San Diego right now. But the data is good, although, thank you. I mean, although, I mean, this is what I tell our parents and staff. It's really good. It is better than the state, our school district, yes, but the empty part is actually disheartening, knowing that, you know, still there is almost 40% of our students that are not at grade level in math, and almost a little bit over 30%, they are not at grade level in English. And this is before COVID-19. It is actually disheartening. So that's why we have Saturday school, after school classes, our enrichment classes. So we are hoping that, you know, once we are done with COVID-19, we will be able to go back to in-person enrichment classes to support our students. Yes, we do virtual classes right now, but it is not as effective based on the data that we have as the in-person one. Now, other than that, on the report, it also one of the key items that San Diego Unified really values is the involvement of our board. And I wanna specifically thank to Dr. Dick Bash for attending all the district related meetings, because our district is really, they really value the local representation and our San Diego board members' participation in the discussions at the site visit. And he has been able to attend all of our meetings and answer their questions and our board's role in the LCAP process and how we actually provide school programs and the review to provide quality education for our San Diego community. I want to also add that with San Diego Unified, we have really close relationship, and we actually, I can say that, I mean, I don't want to maybe brag, but I think San Diego is the best. I worked in LA. One thing is, you know, yes, there is politics here too, but we actually have, you know, some regular meetings with San Diego Unified Superintendent to get latest updates, and we can also give feedback. And we are also included in different grants as charter schools. And I think San Diego is the only city in the entire California that includes charter schools in citywide bonds or the propositions. So we are really happy to be part of San Diego Unified, and we really appreciate your support. And we continue to work with them, and we have another site visit in April. We already prepared most of our site visit report documents, and we will provide them, and then we will have discussion. But I can tell you that although with all the statewide decline in enrollment right now and expecting at least 3 to 5% decrease enrollment, our team is working really hard to meet our enrollment target. And also we are hoping that with some changes in our demographics and bringing in some additional resources, we will be able to have a stronger budget. But again, we still need to hopefully find a grant, especially for facility cost, because that's the biggest cost after the employee salaries and benefits in our budget. Thank you. If you have any further questions, I'm gonna be here.
Congratulations, Ms. Search, on such a successful visit. Sardar, I just have questions of long-term outlook financially of the school. As a board member, you were really paying close attention to that. And as CFO, I really hope that you are continuing to pay that attention and supporting the school as best as we can as home office.
Absolutely. Thank you for highlighting that. Yes, I remain to be concerned about this school because, you know, we have a very long-term commitment when it comes to facilities. And we are in an area we can't move anywhere. We have to work on, improving our enrollment and considering different options. Maybe it's an academic program change or, a satellite campus or something. We have to really pay close attention to this campus because academically it's the best school. However, due to the facility commitment that we are in, it is very challenging financially for the school. But we are working with the school side and as a C team on that and paying a close attention.
Any further questions or comments?
Actually, I think we have a lot of other principals here. I don't know if they have any updates to share regarding their schools. I know it's getting late, but if Rabbi Beliak is okay, I just want to hear if there's anything they want to share with the board or not.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be great. But just start off other colleagues by saying congrats to GoCon. That way you mention the agenda item and then you can talk about your update. Go ahead. We open up the floor. Uh-oh, they're multitasking. We'll go in order. We have Mustafa, we have Steven. Any updates, Mustafa? Oh, we have Zeke. Go ahead, Zeke, welcome.
Yes, good evening, board members and our home office and the public. Yeah, Gökhan, congratulations. That is so good to hear. All these success stories, that's what we want to bring our schools also to the success. For MSA 3, Magnolia Science, this is my fifth or sixth month leading the school with my admin team. The success stories are keeping us upbeat and work every day to make a difference in our students' lives. What we have accomplished, as we checked with the home office, our mid-year review and LCAP goal progress, we have made improvements. Our school, compared to MSA San Diego, like 69%, those are like super good, high achievements. With us, it is 17% math and 35% English for our school. It is, as you are aware. So what we are doing to change the trajectory, and this semester, COVID did not stop us and didn't define us. And what we did, we strengthened our intervention plan with after school targeted intervention, in addition, Saturday school intervention. And currently we are working with an outside vendor, Tutor.me, organization to provide additional support to our low achieving students. Let's come to the numbers, what we have done. For the numbers, as of yesterday, Magnolia Science Academy 3 started its first college class with collaboration with LA Valley College. 26 students participated yesterday. This was an COVID, I mean, we see COVID is impacting, but in fact, it helped in this case that we were able to enroll students virtually. They are attending, they are taking psychology class, and it is UC and CSU transferable class. It is so good for MSA 3. One more good news I'll tell, not to keep the night long. Math counts competition for our students. We said math is so crucial. It is 17%. In addition to all these intervention program, we kept a math counts team for our students to compete, to keep the momentum. Currently 26 students, our students are taking advanced classes. Seventh graders taking eighth graders taking high school class. And as of last week, 12 students in the math counts team, they competed in the math counts competition. It is the first in Magnolia Science Academy 3 history, Matt Counts team. We are so happy to have that team started this year. So those are my updates. Thank you for listening to me and wishing other schools, all of Magnolia schools, success this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Zeke. And
thank you, Zeke. Congratulations. These are really great updates. Thank you for sharing with us.
Yes, and I just want to give the boards and our colleagues that you will get a totality of the updates at our board retreat at the virtual home of our chair, Dr. Rabbi Belia, on Sunday. So you will get a mouthful of data and presentations on the 21st. So I'm glad that you're getting our school sites amped up for that. So with that, I'll turn it over to either Stephen, David, or Mustafa. If you guys want to just give a quick update, just because you guys will be presenting for about 10, 11 minutes on Sunday, the 21st on data, go ahead.
I can go next if.
Go ahead, Mustafa.
All right, good evening, or actually good night, everyone. this is the principal from Magnolia Science Academy, one Mustafa Sahin. So in a nutshell, you know, we have been very focusing on our students' achievement gap because of the distance learning. And we, as an admin team, with our Title I teachers, we have been meeting twice a week just to see what we can do. And, you know, we like heavily focusing on data. So we tested our students at the beginning of the first semester and then at the end of the second semester with MAP testing. So we have seen 63% increase in 90% of our students took the test. So 63% of them increased their math and 73% of them increased their English score. So just seeing that data made kind of everyone very happy, meaning that, you know, whatever our teachers are doing, even with the distance learning, so it's working. So the data is showing that. So that's one thing. As Zach mentioned about, you know, Saturday school is in place. We have extra tutoring that's also in place. And then another thing is, so not next week, but the following week, we are also going to open our campus for the small group instruction. Our SPED team and EL team are informing our parents. So we are gonna start on the 22nd. That's also coming. As like 2 weeks ago, our nurse started at our site. So our admin team also has been coming to the site because we have parents coming, students coming, you know, asking some and replacing some technology stuff. So we just needed to keep our doors open. And, you know, as Magnolia One, we have been the hub for the community to serve the lunch. Every Wednesday and Friday, we have been serving over 600 meals to the community. And of course, due to COVID, we have some parents, we had 10 parents who tested positive and we were able to deliver food to their homes. They requested, and then we also, you know, offered. So they were like very thankful. So that's kind of that also kind of keeps us, you know, moving, just being able to help our community. And just one thing that we are focusing on right now, the enrollment numbers. Unfortunately, due to COVID, the numbers are comparing to the last year, 50% less than last year. So as of last year, as of end of January, we had around 200 applicants. So this year we have around 110. So that's a struggle. You know, I am also closely monitoring the enrollments. You know, that's our priority this semester. And we have been working with a couple companies just to advertise and send some Facebook, YouTube, you know, ads just to kind of promote our school. And I don't want to take more, so I want to keep some of them to this Sunday. in a nutshell, this is, you know, those are the things that we have been focusing on.
Thank you, Mustafa. That is great. Stephen, you want to give an update on your visit by the California Department of Education?
Good evening, board members. Stephen Keskinter. So yes, we had a visit on Tuesday from the CDE, which was, I think, very successful. And so the visit included like some classroom visits and also talk to the teachers and parents. I think the most important thing was, I think, the parent talks, that the parents were very happy with the food drive, having our English courses even open to the public, having our parents inviting their neighbors. I think that was very nice. And similar to other schools, we are also doing like the Saturday school, after school tutoring, and we are keeping to track on academics as well.
All right, Stephen. We had one more, but we had another principal jump on the phone. I think they must have heard Dr. Yapanel's question. The ear started ringing, so we had a principal. So we'll go to David Gardner, and for the principal that just joined, Jason, the question was to just give a quick update of what's happening at Bell. Go ahead, David.
Good evening, board members. David Gardner here from MSA2. So thank you for your time. Congratulations, San Diego, on the incredible accomplishments. So my comments will relate to that as well. So I know you'll hear from us on the Sunday board retreat, so I'll be brief, and I'm known to be too verbose here. But we're excited. We had our early college magnet ninth grade students. They just started their fourth college class this week. So we just launched a new program to get our ninth graders kind of started with college programs early. And so we're excited to have 25 ninth graders in their fourth college class this year that just started, like I said, this week. Art class, we're having Saturday school. We've had more Saturday schools than we've had, by a lot in terms of the known student attendance for learning loss mitigation, in terms of the teachers that are part of it, our SPED teachers, and just really recruiting our students that are struggling right now to catch up. We have, some great successes from our 12th grade students that are getting their admissions letters right now from colleges and universities. We had some competitive students finding out that they got accepted as QuestBridge finalists, which is a very competitive program for Ivy League schools, where they provide scholarships for students. We also have an IBM coding school quantum computing course that our 12th grader was accepted out of 5,000 students in the US that got into the program. So we've had some very exciting things happening on the academic forefront. And then in terms of our, challenges, obviously the biggest challenges right now for us are kind of reiterating what everybody's saying. This has been a really challenging year for our students. Just the emotional trauma, our students' families are on the front line, they're frontline workers for the most part. We unfortunately had a tragic passing of our eighth grade student's mom a couple weeks ago, which really rippled, through the community and was very, very challenging for our students and their families. But we were able to basically get together and really be positive and help with the GoFundMe, and lots of great contributions from our family members and our staff that were very, touched by being able to help the family in this challenging time. And in the meantime, we have a lot of support we're doing. We have online programs. We're doing the zones of regulation curriculum for the students to help them with their processing of emotions. Thanks to Dr. Lopez for the training for that, which we do with our ASB student government every day during advisory. And we're starting our new Parent Bridge Academy this Saturday again for our parents to get technology training, which is we're really excited about. So that being said, I know we have a lot more we'll talk about next week or on the board retreat. Thank you so much, everybody, for your time. And I hope I was not too long-winded. And back to you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, David. And last but not least, Jason. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, so this is Jason Hernandez, principal at MSA Bell. So just to highlight some success, the big piece has been the tech stuff. So I think the one thing that this COVID thing has really basically put in the light is the gap that there is between, you know, between different communities, you know. So we've made it a point at our school to ensure that we close the tech gap. So it is ongoing. I can't tell you it's 100% that every single kid has all the technological tools that they need to be learning, because situations change every day. So I'm at 100% right now, and tomorrow morning I'm going to get a call that there's two kids that need a new Chromebook. And so we've been, Mr. Prado, who's not in here, but one of our Dean of Students, he lives in the communities, from the community. Several of the kids live nearby. He goes out there, he gets to the homes, you know, provides them that Chromebook, that hotspot, whatever it is, you know, those tech tools are met. Our office staff has done a wonderful job to help families and students navigate the remote learning. So kudos to them, because every phone call is about 20 to 30 minutes of tech support that's provided. And then our IT manager has, over the last year, has really prepped us to ensure that we have the bandwidth. So when everything went remote, we had the sufficient tools within our school site to be able to provide them. And we've made the order and purchases of equipment. So when it's safe to do so, we're ready to go into hybrid mode. Our ADA rate is 98%, so it's extremely high. Of course, engagement is a whole nother story. So engagement is something we've been working on. So we've had professional development with staff. We've had staff share some promising practices, and we've been narrating these promises, practices, and using them to be able to support other staff members that might be struggling. So we've kind of, we're kind of working together to close this achievement gap with one another. And so we've had a lot of great practices that a home office has been able to provide, because they get a chance to see some great practices happening across our 10 schools and then within our own site. Student Square, we started the initiative of Student Square very recently, and we have about 98% of our students that are on Student Square. And so this provides a great tool for teachers to connect with students as well as their families. We've also, I know you heard zone of regulation, so SEL has been a big push. We do mentorships, and we have the platform to be able to monitor the mentorship. And our kids' mentorship goes on about 97% of the week for at least 5 to 6 minutes each session. So we're able to monitor that. And that's been a big push at our school to look out for the SEL of our kids. And that's just simply some of the highlights. We've also been doing monthly showcase. So we've been making a big push of our project-based learning. And so every month we provide a showcase, and we put it out there to our community, our families, so they can see the great work that's happening in our school. I know Mustafa mentioned enrollment. Enrollment's a big deal. We've seen a lot of families move out. Unfortunately, a lot of families are going through trauma. And so we want to make sure we're able to articulate some highlights that our kids are going through, even in these difficult times. And we're hoping that helps put the word out there that there are some great things happening in our school through these showcases. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. There'll be more when we do the board retreat.
Thank you, Jason. You forgot to say something nice about your colleague who says his baseball team, the San Diego Padres, are as good as the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, I don't know. We've had a couple parades here in LA. LA's pretty happening right now.
Go Padres.
All right. So we had one more principal. I'm telling you, they're just coming out of the woodwork. So we have Miss Wittig. So Miss Wittig, the question is to give a quick update on what's happening at Dolphin Territory. Go ahead, Megan.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Good evening, board. I won't share too much. I'll save the surprises for the 21st, but there are two things that I'd like to highlight. One is we're very excited to announce that we have met our enrollment goal and target for next year. We actually had to have our enrollment public lottery last week for most of our grades and for wait lists for the other grades. So we are excited about that, looking ahead, planning for next year. And then I'd like to just highlight something that we've had the privilege to begin for our staff, as we all kind of feel the burnout and the wear and tear of Zoom in this past year and everything that's going on, looking at our mental health and wellness surveys and the results and seeing how our staff ratings dropped quite drastically, just their overall well-being and their sense of excitement and joy and energy. We decided to prioritize that this semester. So we've partnered with our community partner, the Chicago School of Psychology, and one of their student interns is going to be leading a 4-month long staff well-being program training and development for our staff members, for all 30 of our staff members. So we begin tomorrow kicking it off, and it's going to begin with a Clifton Strengths assessment, just to kind of help them highlight things that are going well in their lives and strengths that they have and ways that they can kind of leverage those strengths in this setting and in their personal and professional lives. And then from there, it'll be a 4-month long series of supports and trainings and programs to help them just avoid overall exhaustion, burnout, continue to grow professionally, and really learn how to balance their personal and professional lives. So we're excited to see that, because we know if you're happy and comfortable and have energy in your personal life, you're going to perform better as a professional as well. So we want to make sure that we're taking care of our staff overall. But we're happy to kick that off tomorrow, and I hope to give you a good update for that on February 21st. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Megan. And I think myself or Dinj, David and Suat, we're going to put our principal shirts on from 2003. And give you an update. Just kidding. Gray hair. All right. Board members, anything else you want to hear from staff on this specific item besides saying great things about San Diego and dovetailing that to their schools?
I would like to thank all the principals for this update. I think at the end of the day, these updates are really what keeps me going. I would love to hear more of this, and I look forward to the retreat to get more details. Thank you for all the hard work you are doing. God bless all of you.
Thank you. All right. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jen, since this is our last item. Jen, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba, and all of our principals for giving that brief presentation that will turn longer in February 21st. So before I hand the mic to Rabbi Belia to adjourn the meeting, I want to thank our board members and staff for the accommodation and patience for tonight's meeting, as well as Mr. Rasul Monashev, as always. Thank you so much. So with that being said, Rabbi Belia, may you please adjourn the meeting? The time is 9:19 p.m.
Well, thank everyone for their participation this evening, and quite a full agenda, and thanks to the principals, and thanks to our board members. We look forward to seeing you all soon at our retreat. We're beginning at 9:30, and as a special treat, I'm serving a virtual high protein waffles or pancakes with a special syrup that I will send over the internet. Take care, everyone.
We're adjourned. Lentil soup. Bye, everyone.
Have a good night.
Have a great night.
Good night, everyone.